Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Zoop up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. And in a moment, we're going to be having Deacon Harold Burke Sivers on our show. And we're so excited to have him. He's a warrior. He's a voice for true manliness in the world today. So we're so grateful to have him here. And I was thinking about this, when I pedaled my bicycle across the United States, and I started off in San Diego, and ended up in Jacksonville, Florida, where, by the way, I understand now they have Whataburgers up there. But anyway, I remember I was getting my bicycle kind of tuned up, and the guy at the bicycle shop says, "Do you have a MacGyver?" And I said, "Well, what's that?" And he pulled out this incredible tool that had, you know, little screwdrivers and wrenches and bottle openers and everything you could imagine that you might need to fix things the way the TV show the MacGyver used to do. And so I think every man needs a MacGyver, a spiritual MacGyver. We need to have the seven virtues would be really good to have in our MacGyver, the seven sacraments, the rosary, liturgy of the hours, understanding our catechism. These are all tools in your MacGyver. So what I've brought is I brought a man to speak with us, to join me today, and we're going to talk about what needs to be in every man's toolbox. I remember when I first had this vision of this podcast, my son Shane Wozniak said, "Dad, you got to do a podcast." So we started out with a radio, a podcast about surfing, and I found out, man, you just can't talk about the surface of things. Let's go deeper. And then we got to go more into the Christian things. And the Lord gave me this vision. I was with Jamie Dersel-Polsky in Tampa, Florida, at the Spirit FM Catholic radio station there, and we had prayed. And I had this real clear vision of a man driving in a black pickup truck, and that black pickup truck had a big. It was driving through gravel, and it was spinning its wheels, because it had a lot of power, but it had no weight in the bed of that truck. There's those big aluminum boxes, the tool boxes. He didn't have anything in there. He had no weightiness of purpose. He had no tools, and he was just spitting gravel all over the place. And the Lord said to me that moment, "I want you to speak to the man in the black pickup truck." And that's every time I turn on my radio show, whenever I speak, whenever I write, that's who I'm writing, talking to. And so then 3 days later, I was over in Cocoa Beach, Florida, by this gravel parking lot. We had just gotten out of the water surfing. And a guy came rolling through to go to check it out and go, "Hey, you know, just to check out the surf." And as he rolled through, he had a black pickup truck. He had a big, heavy toolbox in the back. Guess what? It wasn't spitting up any gravel. It was going smoothly. He turned around, rolled down his front passenger window, checked out the surf. And then as he left, he rolled down the back window of his pickup truck and out stuck the head of a bobcat. And I go, "Well, that's it. We need to reach out to the man in the black pickup truck, and we need to tell him that being on an adventure with God is about the wildest thing you can do. In fact, we say that the greatest adventure you can have in life is abandoning yourself to the wild adventure of God's will. And so we have Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, who is definitely one of those men. He's on a wild ride. Aloha, Deacon. Thanks for being on our show.
Aloha, Bear. It's great to be with you and to see you again. We just saw each other not too long ago at the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance meeting in Dallas. So it was great to see you. And we did a couple of impromptu interviews.
Yeah, we did.
Which was really fun. I put them on my YouTube channel. And so I got to tell you, I appreciate the great work that you're doing for men. You know, and the manliness that you bring back to male spirituality, it's awesome and very much needed in the church today.
Yeah, well, we love meeting, you know, bumping in. And whenever I see you, it revives my determination to reach out to men. Men out there are a lot of them are posers. A lot of us are posers. You know, we're isolated and alone. We're afraid to really be honest with other men about the challenges that we're facing, and so that having to be that strong guy, the strong silent type or whatever, not telling anybody about what's really going on in their lives, we start isolating ourselves. And we got to break through that. Men have to come together. We need to, you know, riding a motorcycle with this pack. We just shot another season of Long Ride Home. When you ride in a pack 500 miles at a shot, you see each other's weaknesses. You can't hide them. They come out. We need to start coming together as brothers.
You know, that's a great point, Bear. And one of the things that I bring out in my book called Behold the Man, A Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality, is the idea of the gift of vulnerability. You know, when you look at Christ on the cross, and what does Paul say? I preach Christ and Christ crucified. Paul says, I want to know nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ. And of course, the line that everybody knows, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so an authentically Catholic man needs to see himself on the cross as Christ crucified. Why? In that gift of breaking open and pouring himself out in love, he's making a gift of service and sacrifice to his wife, to his children, to the church, and to this culture. But people often see the cross and say, well, that's a sign of weakness. No, it's a sign of strength. Because it's what Paul says is when I'm weak, it's then I'm strong. And the weakness is knowing, is admitting to yourself that you need God's help every step of the way, that you can't do this by yourself. You know, even Jesus needed help carrying his cross. You know, so being vulnerable doesn't mean being weak. As a man, it means the strength comes from the fact that you need Christ every moment of every second of every day of your life. And when we see ourselves on that cross as Christ crucified, is then we can understand what it means to make a gift of ourselves, because it's when we give ourselves away in love that we truly find ourselves in God as men.
That's a powerful statement. What you just said was the words of Jesus. He who loses himself will find himself.
Yes.
You have to give yourself away. It's in giving yourself away that you really find your true worth, your true dignity. And when you're all of the natural gifts and abilities and the spiritual gifts and abilities kind of get the juice they need to come alive. It's like those little wind-up dolls, you know, until you turn the switch on, you're only half the man that you're meant to be. So many men are afraid that if they give their lives to Jesus, they're going to have to be something that they're not. The reality is that they're something that they're not right now. They're like a powerful, amplifier or something that isn't plugged in. You know, it's like having a big, powerful truck and there's no fuel in it. Once you were meant to have a relationship with God, and everything is supposed to flow from that. And when you get plugged into the Lord, when you humble yourself and say, Lord, I just can't do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way. I, please forgive me. Come into my heart. I surrender my life to you. When you do that that first time, and you do that again on a day-to-day, hour, minute-by-minute basis, then something incredible happens. That's when the adventure begins. It's not a detour. It's getting on the highway of your life, you know?
And that's a great point. And, you know, the way I like to say that, which you said so beautifully, is thinking about the parable of the prodigal son. You know, there's so many men who are under the burden of sin, and really Satan is kind of running their life. Let's be real. They're addicted to porn, alcohol, drugs, all these things that are separating themselves from God's life. And so what has to happen is that the men have to have this encounter with Christ, but sometimes that encounter means that we have to have that pig pen experience like the prodigal son did. Now, you got to understand the power of that story. If you look in the book of Numbers, you can see that the Jewish people had very strict dietary laws. They couldn't eat things that ate from the bottom of the ocean, like so catfish and shellfish.
Lobsters.
They couldn't eat lobsters. And that's a shame. You know, I'm glad Acts of the Apostles, you know, that vision came down for Paul and that all changed. But but back in the day, and one of the things they couldn't eat was pig, because the pigs ate garbage. Now, you got to understand the power of the story. When Jesus told the prodigal son, remember, the son didn't want to eat the pig. He longed to eat what the pig ate. Mm. So someone hearing that would say, oh, my goodness, it's bad enough to eat the pig, but he wanted to eat what the pig ate. So in their mind, that said, oh, he couldn't get any lower. There's nothing worse than where he is right now. And that's the point. We have to realize that when we try to do this thing on our own, that we're going to fail. It's only when we finally realize we come to that rock bottom point, we recognize that only God can help me out of this situation, that we begin to have that conversion experience, that metanoia, which in Greek means literally turn your mind around. And when you start to finally have the courage to walk back toward God, guess what? My favorite part of the prodigal son, the father says when he caught sight of his son, which means what, Bear?
He was looking for him
the whole time.
Yeah.
He never abandoned looking for his son. And he didn't wait till the son reached him. The father ran to meet him. So men, look, when you finally recognize and have the courage, because it takes courage to recognize your weaknesses, when you finally have the courage to confront them and you finally recognize I need God and you turn back toward him, you make that effort in love to turn back toward God, he will run to meet you with his mercy, with his grace, with his love, with his peace, to help you become the man who God created you to be. And that's where you find your true freedom.
And the adversity of life turns into an adventure. And and all the adversity, all the turmoil and struggle, it begins to make sense because God can use that. He makes all things work to good to those who are called according to God's purposes. So we turn the adversity into adventure, and all of a sudden it's like we start getting traction in a new direction, and then there's a momentum that builds up. And God invites us into a great, thrilling, challenging, meaningful life. We're talking with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be right back.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Plus, good stuff happens when you support us at patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure. You get instant access to every radio show, Bear Wozniak Adventure, and our TV episodes, Long Ride Home, the instant we produce them, months before they even air. Plus, we give you all kinds of free stuff, coffee cups, t-shirts, and other things like that. Go to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure and become our patron. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that bell.
This is the continuing exploits of the financial liberator, Tom Greit, CEO of Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Tom, when is a good time for people and when is it not a good time for people to use credit?
You use credit when you have an opportunity to buy an asset that will go up in value. Examples of that would be a home, an investment property, other types of investments. What you don't want to do is use a loan to buy an asset that's going down in value. The best example of that would be your car, or taking a loan out to go on a trip, or buying stereo equipment. What you want to do is that when the loan is paid off, the asset has gone up in value, not gone down. And that's what happens when you buy an appreciating asset. That's what doesn't happen when you buy a depreciating asset.
So use the virtue of prudence when you're making your financial decisions and you can live a life of financial liberty. We've been talking with Tom Greit, the financial liberator and CEO of Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. That's NotreDameFCU.com. Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak with the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We have with us Deacon Harold Burke Sivers today. You know, I was thinking about this thing of coming to the end of yourself. I remember when I bicycled across the United States, it seemed like about at the 85-mile mark every day, I'd just be going, I can't go anymore. But then there would kind of like be a second wind that would come to me. And I also know paddling my surfboard, doing distance paddling between the islands in Hawaii, it's kind of like you get to an end of yourself at some point, but somewhere there's a reservoir of strength that continues to go. And I remember sailing, when I'd sail by myself, I'd always lay a long rope out of the boat, a long line. And there'd be knots about every 5 to 10 feet on that rope. And in case I fell out, maybe I'd be able to grab onto that rope. But the very last knot on that rope, the sailors call the bitter end. And a lot of times we have to come to an end of ourselves to find ourselves. It's like it's at that moment when it seems like we're in the deepest place, where the Bible says deep is calling to deep as the cataracts roar. Sometimes you have to come to a very end of yourself to be able to where nothing else seems to matter but that rope, and you begin to hear the Lord knocking. He's been knocking all this time, but in that deep place where your spirit and your soul touch the Spirit of God, that deepest part of you, the voice of Jesus is calling out for you and wants to save you. He's in the Savior biz, after all, and he wants to have a relationship. Deacon, can you talk to that man right now that maybe he's at the end of his rope? Maybe he's in a situation where he's been successful in his business, but he's just like bored with it. There's no meaning in it. Or maybe he's had an affair, or maybe his wife has left him, or maybe there's illness. But he's been on the wide road. He's never really found that narrow road. What would you say to that man that is hanging on to the bitter end right now?
Well, here's what I would say. So many times we're trying to find happiness in life, but we will never have true happiness until we first find joy. So in Romans chapter 12, for example, St. Paul says, if you set your minds on the things of the flesh — and the word he uses in Greek means the things of the world — then you focus on the things of the world. So if you focus on money, if you focus on sex, if you focus on all these things, that's what's going to take up your mind, your heart, your soul, your whole being. But he says, if you focus on the things of the Spirit, on the things of God, then you start to focus on the things of God. Here's the key, Bear. Paul says, to set your mind on the flesh, on the things of the world, is death. Now, remember, he doesn't mean just physical death. Mm. The word mavet in Hebrew means to cut yourself off from God's life. Mm. So if your focus is on the things of the world, you are going to inevitably cut yourself off from God's life. Mm. He said, if you focus on the things of the Spirit, is life and peace. Ah, that's the key. To have true joy in your life, you have to focus on the things of God. But the tendency is this, you know, everything's going well, so I don't really need God right now.
Right.
My job is going great. My marriage is going great. Why do I need God? Everything's going fine. But when things start falling apart, all of a sudden we're looking for God. And what did God do to me? It's God's fault. It's God. We want to blame God.
God, what are you doing wrong?
See, exactly right. But it's not God. Because, see, God sometimes allows us to fail because he goes, okay, because you need to recognize what you're really searching for. You're looking at porn, and you're cheating on your wife, and you're drinking too much. What you're really looking for is the peace and the joy that only I can give you, but you're trying to find it in the things of the world, and you will never find what you're looking for when you're focusing on the things of the world.
And, you know,
and so we have to recognize that as men.
You know, men love a challenge. If I said to a man, look, climb this mountain, it may take you 10 days to climb that mountain. At the end of that, you're going to find the Lord, you know, or take this long journey, sail across the Atlantic, and at the other end, you're going to find the Lord. You could find the Lord right now. It's not a long distance. It's not a long distance. It's just that recognition that you've been on the wide way, and you've been on a long, big detour, and that little road going up into the high places, that narrow road that gets narrower and narrower as you go, that's the way to, you know, real delight. Can you right now take a moment to pray for that man that is saying, I've had enough, I'm on the bitter end, Lord, I want you in my life? Can we pray that prayer of initial conversion and to get some back on that path. You can be there right now. You don't have to take some long journey back. Come back to the Lord right now and watch the way he puts wind beneath your wings and sets you on the right path. Can you pray for that person, Deacon?
Sure, absolutely. God, our Heavenly Father, we praise and honor and bless you. Lord, we know that often in life there are so many challenges. There are so many struggles. There are so many things vying for our time, for our attention, for our resources, for our very selves, for our very hearts and souls. And Lord, sometimes we are tempted to fall into the trap of thinking that, you know, that money, that sex, that the things of the world can give me everything that my heart is longing for and desiring. But Lord, we know deep in our hearts that only you can satisfy the deepest longings and desires of our hearts. And so, Lord, we ask you to give us that gift of vulnerability, to not be afraid to break ourselves open and pour ourselves out in love the way you broke yourself open and poured yourself out in love for us on the cross. Lord, challenge us. Lord, today we men are not challenged enough. You know, we often sit back and we let this culture dictate to us instead of standing up and taking charge and saying, this is the line in the sand, no more. So, Lord, give us the courage. Give us the strength that you found, Lord, when you picked up your cross and you carried that cross to Calvary. Help us to pick up our cross and carry it and follow you, knowing that the cross is not the end, that there is resurrection at the end of the crucifixion, that there is an Easter Sunday after our Good Friday. So, Lord, challenge us, strengthen us, open our hearts to receive everything that you want to give us so that we can truly become the husbands, the fathers, the priests, the men of the culture who you created and call each one of us to be. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord, just bless these people, this person that's maybe making his initial or her initial conversion, and for those who are rededicating and recommitting to the life of being transformed in the image and likeness of God. You know, Jeff Cavins, who I dig on so much, man. I love Jeff Cavins. I rode with him up in Lansing, Michigan, and then I went to his very remote cabin. Have you ever been to his remote cabin in Minnesota?
No, I haven't. Yeah.
It's very, very, very remote. And had a great conversation with him there. And but one of the things he says is, you could tell what you cherish and love the most by the rhythm of your life. Tell me what a godly man, a manly, a true man's, what a true man's the rhythm would be to his day, or to his week.
Well, first of all, you have to be a man of prayer. There's no question or doubt about that, because basically what.